wherever you are, say, yes, I'm a Christian, I got saved whenever it was. But every day you would walk in fellowship with him and he would speak with you as well as you speaking with him. So I trust today what we're looking at here today is, and this is a title, Hearing God Speaking Today. Hearing God Speaking Today. Now we know that way back in the Old Testament times the Lord spoke through visions and he spoke through prophets. But we have all of the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit who uses that Word and takes that Word and impresses its truth upon our heart and uses it to speak to us individually. And therefore we are in a very good position today to know him speaking to us. But I want you to note some things here in this chapter regarding Samuel. There was here an eagerness that God would speak. An eagerness that God would speak. Young Samuel had already been raised up from his sleep three times. And now, in obedience to what Eli has said to him, he says at the end of verse 10, speak, or if you can even look, perhaps it'd be better to look at verse 9, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There is that eagerness. He longed to hear God's voice. He wanted to hear what God had to say. There's one of the hymn writers penned these words, Master, speak, thy servant heareth, longing for thy gracious word, longing for the voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? And what a great thing it is to have an eagerness in your heart, to come along to the meeting this morning with that eagerness in your heart. Number one, the fellowship's great, and we love that, and it's great to sing the hymns. But what a great thing to have an eagerness in your heart that you will hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Over there, when Paul was writing, I believe I have the message this morning, that I should have, because again, a brother mentioned this in his prayer. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he said to him there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, encouraging verse in that chapter, you might read it in the context of ungodly and men who hate the truth and peddle falsehood. It says there in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further. You want to pray to that end for the country in general. But if you look at verse 14, he's talking to Timothy, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, Timothy already knew this, but just like me and you, he needed to be reminded. Didn't do him any harm. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, you need to remember that to start with. What you have in your hand, in your home, and hopefully in your heart, is the Word of God. It's not just a workshop manual or something that there are good books that can help you with very many different issues. But this is the Bible. This is God's inspired word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. You and I need to know. Now, we're not theologians, but we need to know what we believe. And that is why the catechism is taught here to the young people and the word of God is taught to them. And I think our brother David was teaching this morning the five solas, teaching why we believe, so that as best as we possibly can, we might have a grasp of what we believe, because it's profitable. It will help you. You will be challenged. Your belief will be challenged. Why you believe it inevitably sometime will be challenged. But the Word of God is also profitable for us for reproof. And it's good, as someone said to me recently, that I like hearing God speaking to me and saying, I need to look at this or look at that. And that's a very healthy way to be living. That we want God to come along and to reprove us. Maybe something happened or someone said something and it's unsettled us a bit. Maybe it's made us better Or maybe it's made us jealous, or maybe it's made us feel that, maybe it's made us feel very small. Someone out in the world there said something and it's made us feel very small, but the Lord would not have you feel small. So therefore, Scripture can help you with all of these things. We haven't time to go into everything this morning. It's possible for profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. How often I've been corrected, folks, through the Word of God, through God speaking to me through His Word. And that is how He speaks to us. When we seek His face in prayer, He can speak to us, and He speaks to us through His Word. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God always work together. They're never at variance. Someone comes to you and says, as I've heard them say, you know, I had a great vision, and here it is. And they talk about it as though it's inspired. Well, it's not inspired. Today, we don't believe in immediate revelation. We believe the God, the canon of Scripture is complete, and God has given us His Word. And therefore, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it will not be in a way that is different from what the Word of God teaches. So they both go together. And therefore, it's very important. And then He comes and he corrects us through His Word. One of the things that perhaps can be part and parcel of life is grudges. Well, I'm not going to say you can't hold a grudge, because I know you can. And let's face it, sometimes on a human level, you may have reason to. You may have reason to. But sometimes these things eat away at you. And they take over your life. They almost consume you. And the grudge is to such an extent that it's robbing you of your joy. And then the Lord comes and speaks to us through His Word about forgiving one another. And then when He impresses that Word upon our hearts, if we act upon it and we're corrected through it, then the joy comes back again. So many reasons that we should be eager for God to speak to us, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The thought here is of going on to maturity, maturing more and more. And I trust today that you, like me, are wanting to hear His voice. Every day that we're waiting upon Him. Sometimes we've spoken to people and they're considering something, let's say missionary work or something regarding their family, and they're saying, you know, I've let it out before the Lord, I'm praying about it, and I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm waiting for the Lord, in other words, to speak to me about it. And I use the example sometimes that there was a young fellow one time, and he had been going to many of the meetings, and then he started to drift away from them. And it was, I can't remember if it was a minister or one of the elders in the church. They were talking to him, and they said, you know, we miss you out of the meetings. Everything all right? And he said, well, I've been praying for a wife, and the Lord hasn't given me one. And then he got talking to him and said, well, where do you be and where do you go? But this young fellow, he went to his work and straight home and never went out of the house. Anywhere. And the man explained to him that the Lord will not go and get some girl and bring her to your door and take your hand in hers and say, here, there's your wife. But you need to be in the kind of environment where you're likely to meet a future wife who's like-minded to yourself. And so it is with young people today. If we come to church on Sunday, we're Christians, and then the rest of the time, we and our days out or our nights out, whatever, we prefer to be among a crowd where there's swearing and consumption of alcohol and maybe other things, in fact, lots of other things going on as well. We don't find a godly wife there. Now, the Bible doesn't show us that, but the Bible does say, and it's not for everyone because some people don't marry. I'm just using this example. It says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But the thought here is we need to be waiting upon the Lord in all of these things. And for instance, if I use another example, we're asking the Lord to speak, just considering what the church should do as far as outreach is concerned, or what decisions the elders should come to regarding meetings and so on, but all of that, if we don't pray and we just hope for the best and think, well, everybody else is doing it, that is not knowing the Lord speaking to us. Not knowing the Lord speaking to us. So I trust that all of us today are eager for God to speak to me. Speak to me and show me. You know your circumstances better than I do. And maybe there's issues that you want to bring before him. I mentioned future partners. There are so many other things. And we need him to speak. Him to speak in his word. But there's not only an eagerness here to hear God speak. There is expectation. Because Eli had said to Samuel to go and lie down again. And if he speaks to you again, if he calls you again, verse 9, then you'll say to him, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Samuel went again and he lay down. There was that expectation, not only with Eli, but there was that expectation with Samuel that the Lord would speak. And you know, when I was thinking of this, I thought, every day do we, and we come to the word of God, do we really expect God to speak to us, or do I read the word of God because I've enjoyed it sometimes? Or maybe I feel I should read it. Or do I come wanting God to speak to me? Speak to me. If I'm in a wrong relationship, and this is not the boy or girl, this is, to use that example again, tell me, show me through the word. Show me the kind of partner that I should be looking for. And by the way, inner beauty is far, far more important than outer beauty. Far more important. But anyway, well, if you look with me there at the Psalm number 85, it says over there in Psalm 85, someone has said this is with the prayer of a patriot for his country. It says, I'll read quickly from the opening verse. It says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now you can see there that there's six times there's thou hast. There's a reference to what God has done in the past. Then he says, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw us out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Then he says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And as I looked at this, I see the psalmist reflecting upon what God has done in the past, and now he's filled with expectation for the future. And there's something there which I took encouragement from when he says here, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Listening and the desire for God to speak to your heart is a mark of revival. It's a mark of revival. Look what he says in verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? Now, we may not at the moment see a nationwide revival. We don't have it. But that's no reason why you and I can't be revived. And if you're willing to come before the Lord, and there's that thought in your heart, I really want God to speak to me, it might be a reproof. He might have to correct something. Maybe I'm angry at somebody and I shouldn't be, because after all, it wasn't all their fault. Or maybe I'm jealous of someone or envious, whatever the things that are common all around us. And you bring that before the Lord and you say, Lord, I will hear. And the thought there of hearing is, I will hear with a view to acting upon. And that's important. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And therefore, you and I can hear what he will speak regarding guidance, to tie in with what I mentioned earlier, and I'll not turn to it for the sake of time, is Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, or the word means make straight. Maybe they don't seem straight at the moment. He shall direct thy paths. Leaning not on your own understanding means you're leaning on him. Leaning on him for guidance. And part of leaning on him is listening to his voice. Listening to his voice. You can look to him for guidance. You can look to him for comfort when you need it. I was reading again recently that verse that I know there's others in the congregation who love the verse as well. It's in Isaiah 41. And one of the verses that the Lord spoke to me through before I went into the Whitfield College of the Bible way back in 1985, it says in verse 10 of Isaiah 41, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And really, a great encouragement for me was not only did I hold on to that all the way through the college and since that, indeed, but at my ordination, Dr. Paisley spoke on it. And that really sealed it all for me, that what had happened here, the Lord spoke to me through this verse. Absolutely 100% convinced of that. He spoke to me and he brought me comfort. Because as I said to the congregation before, I did not have qualifications, academic qualifications from school. And I was concerned about the Whitfield College and even the entrance exams to get in. I didn't know how I would fare. I know that now that I probably could have done very well in school. And it was my own fault that I didn't, because I wouldn't do it. But the Lord spoke to me here through the word. And what a comfort it is, brothers and sisters, when the Lord comes along to you and says to you through his word, fear thou not. Now, I don't know what your context would be. Maybe it's, what about in 3 years' time, 5 years' time? What about the future? What about this week? What about work? What about my daughter or my son? And there's fear in your heart. And the Lord, through his word, spoke to me and said, fear thou not. And while there were times I was still anxious, I always remembered that verse. Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And he spoke to me and he brought me comfort. He brought me guidance, first of all, to go there. And then he brought me comfort that I would know this help when I was there as well. But regarding provision, what have I backslid? What have I got away from the word, and during the college I mean got involved in something perhaps, and I was going to bring shame to the Lord's name or let the Lord down? What about all the things? And well, over there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Maybe you're worried about that today. You feel you might backslide. And it's a horrible thought that comes to your heart that maybe the time will come soon when I don't want to go to the meetings because I don't love them anymore. And I don't really like God's people because they're all basically the same. That's a great thing. We're all different, but we all have the Lord. That's what we have in common. Well, the Lord is able to meet your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's able to sustain you spiritually. You know how he does that so often? He speaks to you in his word. Just gives you that word. And that is the importance, brothers and sisters, of being in meetings. Not necessarily when I'm preaching, but when someone is preaching the word, that you're there and the Lord might speak to you individually. Maybe you won't say it to anyone going out, but you'll know. That was a word for me. The Lord came along and he reproved me. He corrected me. Actually, he helped me because he spoke to my heart. It made me think. And I had to be honest with myself. But the Lord came along and he helped me. He helped me. That is the expectation that the Lord will speak. And you know, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where the Lord is not going to speak to his people. When we're in a position where we can't expect him to speak to us. Wherever you are today, And I said, I mean your life. Expect him to speak to you. Not next Sunday. Well, yes, next Sunday. But all the days in between. Expect him to speak to you on specific issues. Wait on him. Wait on him. And he will speak to you. But there's not only here, as we have noted there, the eagerness for God to speak, speak, Lord, and the expectation he went and lay down again and waited there. But there has got to be this entreating of the Lord that he would speak. He says there, speak, Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to lie down again, and Lord, if you want, you can talk to me. But he's really asking the Lord now. He wants to hear. But he says here, thy servant heareth. Someone said, speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. And I know that that ties in with our former thought, but I thought it was very relevant here. How important it is. I wonder what Samuel was thinking when he was lying there. We need to ask the Lord. Come along and entreat him and call upon him that he will speak to us. Someone once said, commenting on the Lord speaking to his people, they said words like this. They said, pray that you may never get into a place where God is not able to speak to you, and that you may hear his voice. And you know what that place is, brethren? That place is very simple. It's a place of disobedience and willful sin. Willful sin. Yes, we're talking about Christians, but willful sin and the place of disobedience. If I just read you quickly what it says over there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. Verse 24 is a very important verse. It says, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling of to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And then it says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. See, there's such a thing as quenching the spirit. And being in that place where because of how we're living, the Lord cannot speak to us in the way that he would. He loves us. But you're familiar with the scripture that says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. The word regard there means harbor, as you would hide something. If we hide iniquity in our heart, then the Lord will not hear us. And if he's not hearing us, then you're not effectively entreating him. And then you won't hear his voice. And you end up losing out. That's really what it comes to. We end up losing out along the way. And therefore, folks, we must constantly say to the Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And for that to be the case, that thought of entreating leads me on to think of examining. Examining. You'll see here that Samuel in his prayer, he's saying here, he's coming before the Lord with humility. He's coming before the Lord with humility, and he's saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He's examined his own heart. Or we ought to examine our own heart when we look at his words that he used there and say, we're in submission. Submission to the Lord. It's very easy for me to think, Lord, I'm going to listen when you tell me something that's exactly what I want to hear. And if it's regarding the way ahead for me, exactly what I had planned in my own mind, fits in exactly with all my own ambitions and desires. Some people will say, you know, regarding people maybe in business, they've seemed to have a massive business, has done, as far as prosperity is concerned, it's done extremely well, and they'll say, oh, the Lord has blessed him, and that may very well be the case. The Lord also blesses people in a different situation. What if business fails? The Lord still blesses the individual. It's submission to him. And in examining our own heart and coming before him saying, Lord, what if I set my own ambitions aside? And I open for the will of God.
in my life? And therefore, folks, we need to examine our hearts and make sure. As I told a person one time in England, and they didn't take it well. I knew something of the situation, and I knew the possible reaction, but before we started a conversation about a certain issue that they wanted to talk about, I said, now, it's very, very important for all of us that we don't come now before the Lord looking for him to speak to us with our mind already made up. And when men and women get to the point where they're looking to the Lord and they're saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, they're willing for the will of God, and they are searching their own heart out, and as far as that goes, they're saying, I'm a servant. I'm coming in submission before the Lord, and I want him to speak to me. When you're in that position, brothers and sisters, you're in a good position. You're in a good position for the Lord to speak to you. That examination is so important. My heart needs it every day. Every day. Because other thoughts of worldly thoughts can come in this world of materialism. Nothing wrong with things. But you don't want to worship them. And your heart would like to worship them. And your heart likes to go easy on the flesh too. And we need to examine these things every day. There's another thought here in this situation. Not only entreating and examining, but there's exaltation. He says here, speak, Lord. And when you think of what he said there, speak, Lord, you think of the sovereignty of God. Not only are you showing that you're ready to obey, but you're saying here, I want to hear, and overall, I want to hear that glory might be brought to the Lord. That glory might be brought to the Lord. Remember in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, where he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Or, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord showed him, told him, and he done it. Whenever he was Saul, the persecutor, and even when he was converted, little could he imagine the way that the Lord would have him to go. Sometimes it was very, very difficult. Other times it brought great, great joy to his heart. Sometimes it was exciting. But it was the Lord's leading. And brethren and sisters, when we're in that place, as I mentioned last night at our dinner, bringing a wee small word at the end, the safest and the best and happiest place in the world is in the will of God. In the will of God. And that's where Paul was. It wasn't all easy. It wasn't going to be all easy for Samuel either. But you and I know what he turned out to be. Yes, Hannah prayed for him to start with, and she said, you give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And he was a man who was, and I said it before, he was like a hinge pin in a whole nation. Just one man. Just an answer to one woman's prayer. Just a young man who said, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. That is what he became, because he had that thought in mind. He wanted to exalt the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, where we've been reading this morning there, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it says, and he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? Eli's asking the question now. It says, I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of the things which he has said. Now, you know what he said. Eli had not he had not chastised his sons. We all love our sons and our daughters, and we love them to be happy. But there's sometimes, especially in their tender years, when you have to chastise them, and then it stands by them in when they get older. Eli failed. He failed here. It says in verse 13, his sons made themselves vile. The word literally there means accursed. And he restrained them not. Do you know what the word restrained there means? He frowned not upon them. Your little boy or little girl does something that you know is wrong for them and wrong for other people too, you might frown upon them. And you give them that look and you say, listen, this is your final warning. Do it again and there's going to be serious repercussions for you. And then there might be serious repercussions. Like you may, for instance, may even in school, you may be asked to go and sit in the naughty chair for a while. And sometimes there's other things as well. But he didn't do it. And his sons were a disgrace to the nation. Now that can happen. I want to say that can happen even in the godliest family. A man or woman can only do so much, but they have responsibility to do so much. That was it. Eli didn't. And the Lord told Samuel what was going to happen to Eli. And it says in verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit. It says, if you had a Hebrew margin there, it says, and it means in the Hebrew, all the things. Samuel told him all the things and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth right, seemeth him good. It was a hard call for Eli. But he knew what had happened. Or should I say, he knew what hadn't happened. He hadn't tried with his children. As I said, and I'm being very clear about this, you can only do so much. The very godliest man or woman can do the very best with their children and they can end up going completely mad. And you can't help it. But Eli didn't try. He didn't try. You see, Samuel here had this desire to exalt the Lord, and I think in the way that he spoke to Eli, he showed that. Do you remember Eli was instructing him and saying, he came to him and Eli said, you go and lie down, and if he calls you again, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant. He was following Eli's direction. And now, just a very little time later, Samuel's saying, here's what's going to happen, Eli. And it's because of you. Because of you. This is going to happen. That spoke to me as a father and ought to speak to all of us. We can't live in disobedience. We have to obey the Lord and do what he has asked of. Because really, there was the dealing of the Lord then with Eli there. He had a desire to exalt the Lord. And when you and I want the Lord to speak to us, surely it is with that desire that he will be exalted. That we will do or go or whatever in his direction and behave in a way that will exalt his name. Exalt his name. I have one final thought here, and that is the word experience. It says there in verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel grew. That's what you want to do. That's what I want to do. That's what happens when the Lord speaks to us. Title was God speaking. What was the exact title? It was Hearing God Speaking Today. Hearing God Speaking Today. Not last year. That was a good experience perhaps. But today, tomorrow, Samuel grew. And it says there that the Lord was with him. But we also see here not just growth and the guarantee that things would go well because the Lord was with him, but there's also guarding as well. It says, and let none of his words fall to the ground. The Lord did let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Someone said, oh, give me Samuel's ear. The open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word. That's a good request, isn't it? I'll read it again. Oh, give me Samuel's ear. The open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word. And I trust, folks, that as we speak to God, and we must do that, and again, we're encouraged by the prayer meetings in the church overall. Generally, for a small church, I have to say, very encouraged. And we thank you for that. And we know that people pray at home because they tell me that. And we thank you very much indeed for that. But let's look for him. Let's look for him every day to speak to us, younger person, older person, to hear that speaking voice of the Lord today and to know his direction and to know that we're in the center of his will, because it's there that will be most useful and that will be most blessing in our own life.